The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but this morning we are as close to you as your own home. I'm the Reverend Larry Piers, the minister at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and I want to welcome you wherever you are in your life journey, wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Whomever you love, however you express your gender or gender identity, we welcome you into this ever-widening circle of embracing love and compassion. Our opening words this morning come from the Vietnamese Buddhist leader, Thich Nhat Hanh. The next Buddha will not take the form of an individual. The next Buddha may take the form of a community practicing understanding and loving kindness, a community practicing mindful living. This may be the most important thing that we can do for the survival of the earth. So this morning, as we focus on the question, is it possible to be not spiritual? We invite you into this time of reflection, of singing, and conversation with us. Sally Bertolazzi will now read our chalice lighting words, and following that, I will light our chalice. Sally.
Our chalice lighting this morning was composed by Eric A. Heller Wagner. Blessed is the fire that burns deep in the soul. It is the flame of the human spirit touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life.
And now Preston will light our peace lamp.
After I light the peace lamp, your response will be, and with all the people of the world. May peace be with you, and with all the people of the world.
Our gathering song is Mother Spirit, Father Spirit. It was written by the Czech Unitarian Norbert Čapek, a man who lived a life of courage, bold courage, a man who through song connected to the deep spirit within himself and reminds us that that spirit is always available to us in many ways through nature and through life itself. Join in the singing. The words will be on the screen.
Father Spirit, where are you? In the sky song, in the forest sounds your cry. What to give you, what to call you, what am I? Many drops are in the ocean deep and wide. Sunlight bounces off the ripples to to give you, what to call you, who am I? I am empty, time flies from me, what Dreams eternal, fears infernal haunt my heart. What to give you, what to call you, oh my God. Mother Spirit, Father Spirit, take our hearts. Take our breath and let our voices sing our parts. Take our hands and let us work to shape our art.
Our conversation through story and song this morning invites us to reflect on one man's journey through the song that Jerry will sing for us about his own spiritual journey and how at a different point in his life, he came to understand some of what he had previously experienced as a child in some new and ever-widening ways. And so as we listen to this song, let's have the inner conversation with ourselves. What are some of our used to believes or used to knows? And where are we now with those particular ideas or concepts or beliefs? So, Jerry, thank you for inviting us into this reflection through this song by Peter Mayer, Holy Now.
When I was a boy each week, on Sundays we would go to church and pay attention to the priest. He would read the Holy Word and consecrate the holy bread. Everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two and Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad, miracles don't happen still. But now I can't keep track, 'cause everything's a miracle. Everything, everything, everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small, but an even greater magic trick is anything's here at all. So the challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. When holy water was rare at best, it barely wet my fingertips. But now I have to hold my breath, like I'm swimming in a sea of it. It used to be a world half there, heaven second rate hand me down. But I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. Questioning child's face, say it's not a testament, that'd be very hard to say. See another new morning come, say it's not a sacrament, I tell you that it can't be done. This morning outside I stood and saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush. singing like a scripture verse. It made me want to bow my head. And I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then, 'cause everything is holy now. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now.
Thank you, Jerry, for that offering. That was wonderful. Let's join now in a time of meditation, feeling the support of the chair that you're in, feeling your feet flat upon the ground, recognizing the beauty and the miracle of the breath as it moves through your own body, as I invite you into this guided reflection. Let's pause and reflect on our own actual lived experiences. Haven't there been times and circumstances when you have felt a sense of life's wonder? Haven't there been times when you have been surprised by joy? Haven't there been times when you have felt gratitude growing in your own heart? Any of these experiences may have been very obvious or even very subtle. Any of these experiences may have lasted a while and or touched you for just a few fleeting seconds. Notice and re-experience for a moment what these experiences have done within you and through you. Savor those times of joy and gratitude. Savor those times and moments when you have even been surprised by wonder itself. Savor them now and sense their continuing impressions upon your heart. Sense their lingering or their fleeting impact upon you. And let's stay with these reflections upon these experiences while we pause for a time first of some silent meditation and continue those reflections even during the musical meditation. So let us first join in silence in these reflections and then continue through the musical meditation this morning. Thank you. so fortunate to have that music meditation that was composed and performed for us and recorded by Isaac Strater. Hopefully you received that music as a gift that awakened in you some memories that allowed you to linger there and to savor them. So I have to make a confession. I came out to a few of our members this week that I am an extrovert that is temporarily trapped in an introverted body. You see, at least during these COVID isolating days when so much of my communication happens on Zoom, and with boxes on a screen, I really miss the energy of normal conversation, conversations that can easily come now, like playing badminton, where folks tend to talk in quick snippets, getting their words over the net. But the difference is there's not much volleying back and forth. I know that there would be more conversation, and I want to have more conversation with you this morning, if only we could actually linger in it. So I'd rather be having a conversation rather than just broadcasting right now. I'd like to try to recreate some of the conversation here, and maybe our matters of the heart towards the end of our service allows us at least a limited time to interact around some of the themes that I'll be presenting. Some of you are hearing the question that's the title of my sermon, is it possible to be not spiritual? And you already have the answer, don't you, right? Of course, you might say, someone can be not spiritual. And then you might quickly add, as a matter of fact, I'm not spiritual. And those of you who have an experience with me teaching might already be able to anticipate my response. You have to kind of look at it nonverbally first. First, it's kind of a respectful pause until my innate curiosity kicks in. And then from that curiosity, not judgment, I might say, so you say that you're not spiritual, really? And then my eyes would say it all, even without these explicit words. Tell me more. Now, mind you, I would have the same response if you'd said to me, I am spiritual. I often really want to linger in the question and in your responses longer than is typical. You see, I know and you know that yes and no are inadequate responses to the question. I know that whatever labels we may use for ourselves, spiritual, not spiritual, atheist, theist, pagan, humanist, or Christian, does not always describe all the ingredients within you or within any of us. Let's say if someone responds to my question and says, yes, I am not spiritual. That for me is actually the beginning of the conversation and not the end of it. I would want to pursue the inquiry in this way. What is this spiritual that you are not? Oftentimes in our culture, what people mean by the word spiritual conveys an understanding based on generalizations, past experiences with religious upbringing, or even hyperbole. So for example, if by spiritual we mean bearded, robed gurus surrounded by worshipful devotees, delicate saints absorbed in ecstatic visions, ascetic hermits meditating in caves, beads and incense whirling, dances and chanting, then I could trust that some of us would not call ourselves spiritual either by those particular criteria. If what we mean by spiritual is that we polish our halos every morning, spend hours in deep meditation, or that we hold on to religious beliefs that we have outgrown no matter what, or that we believe in alien invasions, hey, don't knock it. I'm actually hoping for some kind of invasion from intelligent beings from somewhere to get us out of the mess that our world is in. Well, you get the picture. The labels that we tend to use don't really tell us much about the actual ingredients in one another's lives and experience. I remember once when I was teaching and this man said, I'm a nun. As I began to give him my curious non-judging eyes that said, really? Tell me what kind of nun you are. I realized before I uttered a syllable that what he meant was N-O-N-E. He was someone who would answer none of the above if he was checking boxes on religious identities or preferences in a survey. So many of you probably know that there has been a lot of research in recent years based on these exact two questions. Do you think of yourself as a religious person or not? You might even ask that question of yourself right now. And the second question, do you think of yourself as a spiritual person or not? When people in the United States were asked these questions by the Pew Research Center in their latest version of the survey, they reported that about a quarter of United States adults, that's about 27%, now say they think of themselves as spiritual but not religious, which is up 8% percentage points in 5 years since the last time they did the survey. This increase in this group of spiritual but not religious has occurred among men and women, whites and blacks, Hispanics, people of many different ages and education levels, among Republicans and Democrats. It's speculated that many of those who are spiritual but not religious would be the ones who might also check none, N-O-N-E, on a survey asking them to check off their religious identity. Now, I used to be a card-carrying member of the Religious Research Association in America. Aren't you impressed? I've participated in a few national research projects on American religion, so I've been interested in this growing trend of the spiritual but not religious. But these days, I have to tell you, I'm less interested in the quantitative results, the percentages. Now I'm more interested in the qualitative research obtained by interviewing people to find out their stories and their responses to the question, what do you mean by religious? What do you mean by spiritual? And even for the 18% who said they're neither religious nor spiritual, I'm curious, what do they mean by that? So the quick response to the inquiry isn't satisfying enough for me. A yes or no just doesn't satisfy me, but although it may satisfy those who feel like a quick, convincing response settles the matter. But before even asking, we all know that we mean different things by this word spiritual. And what is more, we all know that our understandings of the religious and the spiritual have changed and developed in our lives, just as the song Holy Now that Jerry sings to us really indicates, and many of us can identify. Certainly, I've known this in my own life. And as I look around this virtual room, I know that many of you have also had this journey of changing and shifting and developing and deepening your own understanding of what spiritual or religious might mean for you personally. Now, I am such a relentless researcher that I might even hold a mirror under your nostril to see if you're still alive. And if I detected that you were still breathing, I'd ask you, what do you mean by spiritual or not spiritual? I actually have permission to do such research relentlessly throughout your life. It's not just because of my innate curiosity. You see, you understand that as Unitarian Universalists, we commit ourselves to the bold principle to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. In my understanding of search, I don't understand this as putting a bookmark between a few pages of the book of our life and saying, that's it, that's who I am. And then we slam the book shut at some particular moment in time. Searching to me means that there are still more pages to go through, more living to do, even up to our last moment. Just as I might ask you if you say, I am not spiritual, what is this spiritual you don't believe in? I might also ask if someone says to me, I believe in God. I might ask, if only to myself, what is this God that you believe in? If someone says to me, I don't believe in God, I might ask, if only to myself, what is this God you don't believe in? Now, our friends in the United Church of Christ had a promotional campaign some years ago that utilized this quote from Gracie Allen. Maybe you've heard it. Never place a period where God has placed a comma. In some UCC gatherings where I was teaching, I noticed that people were even wearing a comma lapel pin. Cute, don't you think? It makes the point. And the point is that even in our most certain convictions about ourselves and our world or the sacred, putting a period prematurely can easily belie our own ongoing lived experiences. It can stymie our own growing minds and hearts. So I'm tempted to make some comment about Unitarian Universalists wearing a question mark lapel pin, because they can turn anything into a question. But I won't. I won't even make that comment. But if I had made a comment about the question mark, I would say that that question mark symbolizes our commitment to an ongoing quest, as our principles say, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Now, in these polarized times in which we live, it's dangerous to enter the doors into, or in these days, log on to a Zoom meeting hosted by a Unitarian Universalist congregation. If this principle of our commitment to this search is true, then we could be potentially sitting next to people who have very different perspectives than our own, whose life experiences have led them to different convictions. Some would claim to be spiritual, and others would adamantly deny it, and maybe even feel you were insulting them. And if our commitment to our search is actually true, it could very well be that the person sitting here, you, 5 years from now, could have some very different perspectives than you actually have today. Potentially, you might not even recognize yourself. Just notice that even the thought of the possibility that your label could change gives you the impulse right now to stiffen, to freeze in opposition. Recognize that to a commitment to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning means that we stay subtle and resilient, even if right now we may bristle at the thought of leaving our most cherished label. We like to declare, that's it, that's who I am, and leave it at that. We all crave some anchoring in the midst of the maelstrom of our lives or our times. As humans, we're all tempted to shellac our present label. Could it be, as Unitarian Universalists committed to the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, that rather than shellacking, we might actually attempt honing, cultivating, engaging, and bringing forth what wants to emerge in us, that we're actually open to the discovery and not just the search. I imagine that this finishing process in our spiritual lives, however we conceive it, includes engaging the grain of the wood of our lives, appreciating the unique rings of the tree from which that wood comes. I imagine that our search, if it is indeed a search, is this kind of process, not shellacking, but doing the finishing work of bringing forth the grain, the circles, the rhythms, and the patterns of our own lives and our deeper understanding about our life. No matter how comfortable it is, rather than shellacking ourselves at one point in time, we continue to inquire into our values and our beliefs, our convictions. That's much different than finding some convenient label once and for all. This means that we and others can actually inquire into what we actually mean by the labels and the words that we use. It means that we can accept that some of us pray and some of us don't, that some of us study Torah and others of us don't, that some of us do sacred dance and others of us just hobble along the best we can. I've been particularly drawn to the research of Andrew Newberg, he's an instructor at the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania. and a clinician at the Jefferson Hospital. He's done a lot of study of meditators and others who do spiritual practice. And I really don't have the time to go into his research right now, but to suffice it to say that from his research and his study of evolutionary anthropology, Newberg proposes that we have, as human beings, an innately spiritual brain, that as humans, we tend to be oriented towards search, oriented towards making meaning, and we tend to crave the most subtle or most profound unitive experiences, experiences of connection, experiences of feeling at one with our world and at peace with life itself. So I'd like to ask him the same question I'd ask any of you. What do you mean, Dr. Newberg, by spiritual? It just so happens that when Newberg was part of a conference of 80 scientists from around the country that wanted to study spirituality and health, their first task was actually to answer that question. So here's their answer, a kind of, as a true scientist would do, an operational definition of spirituality that these 80 scientists arrived at. They said that spirituality is subjective feelings, thoughts, experiences, and behaviors that arise from a search or quest for the sacred. I'm going to highlight that word search again. Indeed, we're often in search. We scan our external environment, we reflect upon our inner landscape, and our searching. We sometimes take cul-de-sacs and side roads, and we sometimes are deliberate. We're seeking more meaning or ways to make sense of things or ways to uphold ourselves in difficult times or struggles. And in some of our searches, we don't know where we're actually headed. It's not as if we can always put the destination in some inner GPS, and yet we sometimes discover along the way what we're looking for. Sometimes we are also being searched by life itself. It's as if something is finding us. We experience a series of synchronicities or common patterns and start following them as they seem to appear before us. We follow our curiosity, and sometimes it seems that we're looking, that what we are looking for actually finds us. Now, during these COVID times, my spouse and I have been taking some long drives in order to get out of our socially distancing isolation. I have always been that person like likes to put the destination in the GPS and follow the directions as they present themselves. Turn right in 2 miles, turn left in another mile. And it's so reassuring for me to hear that voice of the GPS and know that I'm on track and going to get to where I want to go. But lately, I've actually loosened up. I'm actually open to taking a road without knowing the destination. I'm willing to discover and find our way and be found by the places and the sights that I otherwise would never have known. I'm open to surprise. I'm open to seeing what presents itself. I believe our spiritual search, our search for meaning and for connection, is similar. It can be done both in a deliberative way. It can be done in this discovery kind of way. For some, these words of St. Augustine ring true. Oh God, our heart is restless until it rests in you. For others, these words by the Buddha make sense. Be your own light. And this realization sets them on an unfolding path of awakening and realization through practice that's not necessarily aimed towards direct results. For Jews, the Hebrew word hineni, here I am, can be a reminder that one can awaken in the journey at any point, at any moment along the way. And that sometimes we can retrospectively sense whatever guidance or grace we have received. For Einstein, the search was that was revealed to him was an ever understanding of the expansion of self that one could not always anticipate. He wrote, and I'll quoted briefly, a human being is part of the whole called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. We often experience ourselves and thoughts and feelings as something separated from the rest. But he says this is kind of an optical delusion. And this kind of delusion is a kind of a prison. It restricts us from really recognizing that we are more than our desires and our affections for just a few persons that are near us. He says our task is to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole nature in its beauty. For Einstein, that's what it meant to be truly spiritual. So that it doesn't seem like this sermon is like a ride with no GPS that I've become accustomed to, I do want to share some practical ways that whether or not we call it spiritual, we naturally and instinctively engage in these three general spiritual practices: connection, reflection, and service. Say those after me: connection, reflection, and service. So if we were having a conversation, an actual conversation about spirituality, these are the questions I'd be asking you. First, about connection. Certainly, your heart's been touched and you connect with the wonder and energy of life at times. In what circumstances do you most easily connect with the wonder and the energy of nature and all existence and feel your heart touched and your consciousness awakened? Reflection. Certainly, sometimes you pause and you reflect on your life and your actions and you ponder how to change and improve. When is it easiest for you to retreat from activity, to take a pause, to reflect on your life and manage your life and ponder your next steps? And finally, service. Sometimes, and I know some of you, you have a clear sense of what's right and what's wrong, and you act so as to do good for others. So I'd want to engage in a conversation around what are your highest values and how do you express them as a form of service for the community of life. Across all faith traditions, whatever the belief system, these belief systems, these practices of connecting to wonder, awe, or some energy that moves our heart and shifts our consciousness, the practice of deeper reflection on our life and our life direction, and this practice of service are all behaviors that are at the heart of their spiritual practice. The humblest humanist among us, the most charitable Christian, the boldest Buddhist and the proudest pagan, the most ardent atheist, the mystified mystic, all are united in these practices of spirituality, connection, reflection, and service. Even if we don't see them as spiritual practices, they certainly awaken us and connect us to something more than ourselves. They connect us deeper to our own lives and our own sense of meaning and purpose. So what's the point of all this spirituality practice, this spirituality stuff that I've been talking about? Why engage in practices of connection and reflection and service? I do believe it's to build a reservoir of strength within us, not just for ourselves alone, but to radiate to the world and to create a legacy of hope and possibility for others, and indeed, particularly at this moment, for future generations, for our children, and for our youth, and the generations that follow. We can sometimes experience this strength as inexplicable. Albert Camus talks about it as invincible. So I invite him into this conversation to offer these final words about why even focus on spirituality, on building our own spiritual reservoir, our own spiritual muscles, cultivating that sense of life lived in purpose, lived with openness, lived in care. So Camus writes, and some of you are familiar with these words, "In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found that there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. And that makes me happy. For it says that no matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me, there's something stronger, something better, pushing back. So may it be. Amen. So this is a time in our service where we make a transition, and the transition is towards you. And we ask you to take a moment now to touch your own heart, to recognize and to reflect upon your own direct experience in this moment. What sorrows are you holding for yourself or for another? Allow yourself to experience that sorrow, but not hold it alone. You may choose to share it with us as well. What joys are flowing through your life and your experience in this moment? What sparkling moments are occurring that you want to name for the blessings that they are, no matter how small or how significant? And if you want to, you can share those joys with us. Also, this is a time to actually have a little bit of a conversation, as much as you would like, on what are some of the gleanings that you have from the conversation that I was hoping to provoke today on spirituality, and is it possible to be not spiritual? So take a moment first during this musical interlude to reflect on your joy, your sorrow, or the gleaning that you would like to share with us. If you want to share it, it may be that it's just something that you hold for yourself. But remember, we want to make sure that we be as brief and succinct as we can so that we allow time for all of those who want to share to have the opportunity to do so. So following this musical interlude in which we reflect, then I think it's Mike will come on and give us some instructions about how to do the sharing on Zoom. So as I prepare to extinguish our chalice, I know they can hear us. So let's just send a special love to Roz and Adele, who aren't able to speak to us. And just think about each of them and their personalities and the gift that they are to us. And let's just send them a little love and care through our heart. I had the special joy this week of being able to sing with Roz on the phone. So are you jealous? It was lots of fun. Lots of fun. So
sorry to speak over you for a second, Larry. I was notified in private this issue happened as well last week. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody at the beginning of Coffee and Conversation. So Adele and Roz, if you stick around past our postlude, we'll make sure we hit the unmute all and see if that helps get you unmuted. And we'll give you a chance then to make sure you get the chance to share. Okay?
Okay. So for the extinguishing the chalice, I want to share this verse from the Peter Mayer song that we heard this morning that Jerry sang for us. Read a questioning child's face and say it is not a testament. That would be very hard to say. See another new morning come and say it is not a sacrament. I tell you, it can't be done. So let us embrace this day and this week for the sake of ourselves and for the sake of the world that badly needs it, let's cultivate in ourselves a source of strength and of hope that cannot be extinguished, is invincible, and shines within us and through us and radiates to the world around us. So may it be. Amen. Our closing hymn is There's More Love Somewhere. The lyrics will appear on the screen. Join in when you feel ready. Let's sing together. There's More Love Somewhere.
There is more love somewhere. There is more love somewhere.
More joy.